We eat bottom feeders for lunch.
Really? They're good, rolled in flour and fried with some Cajun spices.
Disc Jockey America Radio is on the air. DJA Radio, a new concept in DJ information and entertainment. The only radio station where mobile DJs can find out what's happening in their industry, improve their shows, make more money, and waste tons of time. If you just tuned in, your business just got better. DJA Radio, the talk of the DJ world. And now, the Knights of the Worth Table with Mark Farrell.
Welcome to the Knights of the Worth Table, a roundtable discussion with the DJA Radio podcast personalities, moderated by yours truly, the Worthmeister. No topic taboo. If it's remotely related to being a DJ, we're going to talk about it here. Today on the Worth Table, we're going to talk about last week's question of the week. How do you know you suck? When do you know you suck? What are the indicators? Can you recognize that you suck as a DJ? And what should you do if you discover that you suck? Do bottom feeders suck? Or do you suck if you're a bottom feeder? Is there a difference? Around the Worth Table today, Bill Herman.
Hello.
Jim Cerrone.
Hello.
Bill James.
Hello.
And John Bruce. Welcome, gentlemen.
Is this thing on?
Lovely to be here.
In every live presentation, boys, that I've ever done, that I've ever given the Getting What You're Worth seminar series, I ask one big question at the beginning of the first seminar. Do you remember what that is?
Who here sucks?
Yeah. How many of you DJs suck? Raise your hands if you suck. And in groups as large as 1,500 DJs, only one or two hands have ever gone up. I honestly don't think that DJs have a gauge of how good or bad they are as performers. Either that or they don't want to admit it. And it's one of the biggest challenges that we face today. We don't have a very good reputation as professionals in the entertainment industry.
You mean you personally or the industry as a whole?
We.
He's absolutely right. He's absolutely right.
All-inclusive we.
Mobile DJs are made fun of on television commercials, Saturday Night Live, people in general. Anytime you've had somebody come to you as a client and say, you don't do that weird blow up the guitars, put the hats on people thing, do you? What they're really telling you is that they've seen a DJ that sucks, and they don't want you to suck. So how do you know? How do you know if you suck? If you're a DJ...
Well, I don't necessarily believe that just be... This is Bill Herman, by the way. I'm not sure that it necessarily means that you suck just because you put up big blow-up guitars, though.
Exactly. But the client saying, you know, that they've seen this and they don't want you to do it, they're telling you that they've seen a DJ that sucks. It doesn't mean that the guitars aren't what sucks,
mm-hmm.
Right? So if you're the DJ that did the guitar thing that sucked, how do you know? How do you find out that you suck?
It's really tough because we have to be our own critics most times, and we're afraid to listen to our clients, or we don't believe that our clients really know when they, you know, really know. We're not paying attention. We're not paying attention to the people that are watching us. And we don't want to hear it from our peers. We don't want to hear it from our clients. We're feeding off of our ego on a regular basis. So you're right. I mean, at what point in your life do you say, well, I'm going to start listening to somebody telling me what's wrong with what I do?
Well, Jim Cerrone, who do you listen to?
The weird thing is DJing is such a loner occupation for so many of us. It is something that you can do for many, many years without having any interaction with other DJs at all. And so I think that's part of the problem, is that you just don't have exposure to other people who can either educate you or let you know that you suck, or just be somebody to compare yourself to. So that's the initial problem. And then the second problem is the DJ industry has an ego problem like no other industry. There are janitorial associations. There are florist associations. There are videographer associations. There are wedding coordinator associations. But getting DJs to work together for one common goal, the improvement of the betterment of the entire DJ industry, is a mind-numbingly frustrating thing because there's so much ego there. So I think there's two things.
Well, and that's a double-edged sword as well, Jim. Is because our egos are the things that we have to feed from those egos to be able to do what we do in the first place, so that it's our best friend and our worst enemy at the same time.
Right. But you get to a point where you don't believe your own hype anymore, and you look in the mirror and you're honest with yourself, and that's when you realize you suck, you've sucked for a long time, and it's time to stop sucking. And that's when you go looking for help, constructive criticism, a mentor, and suddenly your career as a DJ changes 180 degrees and you become successful.
But let's try to identify that. You know, why is it that the vast majority of people think cheese when they think of mobile DJs? Bill James?
Because the vast majority of DJs do cheese. I think it comes down to simply a lack of talent. I was in the store the other day buying a suit, and she asked me what I did for a living. And I said, well, I'm a mobile DJ. She goes, oh, so you'll be sitting a lot. That's what she's seen. Guys sitting a lot and not helping out, not taking any responsibility for the success of the party, for the event, for the wedding reception. She doesn't get to see an awful lot of talent. So she just automatically assumed that I was one of those talentless hacks, too. Those are the guys who are complaining about prices that have to compete on prices. In price just means so much to them. The guys that have talent, they don't think about price nearly as much as the guys that don't have the talent or haven't taken the time to develop the talent.
But you picked up on the word cheese early in my question. You said it's because they do cheese. John, what is cheese?
I think there's a fine line. I think part of it's intent. But if you go and you ask brides, you can go ask a client, a person on the street. It said, the last DJ you saw, what was your experience? Most people's experience is going to be very bad.
Is it very bad, or is it just blasé? Is it, well, you know.
No, it was insincere. It was the chicken dance. It was freaking hats. It was like slapping a freaking chicken head on the bride so you can do a wacky chicken dance bit.
But what's wrong with the chicken dance?
Yeah, we've all seen those things work, right?
Right.
Isn't that what emboldens DJs who suck to do those things?
Well, this is Jim. It's when you do them for the wrong reasons. And that's where the DJ ego thing, the double-edged sword, gets tipped the wrong way. When you
believe
that's part
of the
event. Well, yeah. But when you believe that the event is a chance for you to either, quote-unquote, take over. I've had brides say, I don't want a DJ who's going to take over my wedding. And by that they mean they don't want the DJ to become the center of attention.
Right.
And for a lot of guys, this is a total ego stroke. The entire night is a chance for them to be on stage to feed their own ego or feed the false sense of their ego. And think
to meet
that
some ladies.
Yeah, meet some ladies. And
have a few get a beer.
Brewskies, yeah. But I've talked to a lot of DJs over the years because I've been very public about this. And they tell me, hey, I'm doing everything right. Marketing, sales, performance, but I can't get the phone to ring or people to book me. How can that happen? Honestly, how can that happen? How can you not get the phone to ring if you're doing everything right? Don't you have to suck if that's what's happening to you?
Yes.
If the phone not ringing, it's your potential clients.
But they obviously don't recognize the fact that they suck. And so I come back to the very first and original question, because we need to define this for people, for DJs, who really would like to earnestly make a living doing this. They love being a DJ, and obviously they need help. They need help because they want to make a living doing this. They need help because they want the phone to ring. And nobody's telling them, at least in terms that they understand, that they suck. Maybe you guys can do that.
Well, and like you were saying, if the phone doesn't ring, that's the big indicator. But I think the best place to start is to come to the conclusion that you do. I mean, we all do. Regardless, of how great you are. If you're the greatest disc jockey that the world has ever seen, compared to what you could be, you suck.
Uh-huh. So Bill, you're saying that at some level, we all suck.
Yeah.
But at least you don't know.
If you want to be better, you need to believe that you do. I mean, I may be very good, and my clients may be very, very happy, but if I get to a point where I figure that I don't have to get any better, I'll be passed up. Or I do will start to be the norm at some point for what does suck, because I haven't changed, because I haven't moved forward, because everyone's going to either model themselves past to me and or get better than me. Then what I do automatically becomes cheese, because now everybody's doing it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Jim, again, chances are two things. If you think you know it all, pretty good chance you suck. If you've been doing the same thing for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, chances are very, very good that you suck, because you're not learning. You haven't opened yourself to learn anymore, and you're not freshening what you do and constantly reinventing yourself and changing with the times. You know, routines that might have worked in the 80s didn't work in the 90s. And now, you know, it's a whole, you have to change with the times. Otherwise, I think that you stay at the same level and eventually you suck.
Let's explore that a little bit more. But first, you're listening to Knights of the Worth Table on DJA Radio.
Choose what works for you. DJA works for you. Balls, there for you when you need them. Balls can give you the confidence you need to get that dream gig. Confront the bully. Ask that drop-dead gorgeous babe up to your crib. Effectiveness of balls is guaranteed. And if you're not satisfied, you keep the balls. We'll send you your money back. Simple to apply and approved for daily use. You'll need no more courage on the microphone. Just put on your balls. You'll have everyone's attention. Use only as directed. Continued use without talent may cause overconfidence, puffed chest, induced fist biting resulting in bodily harm and inspiration by dumb ideas. Consult someone who isn't afraid to tell you you suck before applying balls to your next performance. Order balls today.
DJA Radio, if it's DJ, it's on the Worth Table. Welcome back. I'm Mark Farrell. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions about the show, go ahead and send me an email, mark@djaradio.com. Or better yet, call us at 1-888-DJ-TALK-1. That's 1-888-358-2551. Be sure to leave your contact information, because if we use your message in the podcast, we're going to send you a DJA Radio Bottom Feeders t-shirt. Okay, so you guys think everybody sucks. Is that right? I think we left off with Jim and Bill talking about improving.
The first time that you're ever at a gig and somebody walks up to you, and if you're a guy and you're a DJ and it's a girl, and she says, "Wow, you're really great," and all she really wants to do is get her request played now.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
To you, you think she's really hot for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and
another
you
place.
Are really good, and that's because
why they do that.
Well,
really?
I mean, did you guys ever suck? I mean, I can't imagine that any of you guys ever really, really sucked. You know, except for
of course not, but maybe a little.
Have we at any point in time ever walked away from a gig and thought that we couldn't get any better in what we did and what we said and how we planned things, that we needed more information than that we had when we walked in the door?
Did you ever do that? Did you ever walk out of a gig thinking, "Oh man, I've got a lot to learn"?
I do so a lot more now than I did back, 10 years ago.
What's the difference?
I think awareness. I think if there's 100,000 DJs in the United States, which is probably a soft number because there's everybody knows somebody who's a DJ.
It's true.
There's probably 95,000 of those DJs have never actually seen themselves perform on videotape.
Bill James, how about you? What did you ever think that you sucked?
No. Actually, yes. When I started my own company, I started researching what other DJs were doing, and I ran into DJ bulletin boards, I found almost right away the Getting What You're Worth stuff and started listening to it. And I was just hungry for knowledge because I knew somehow in the back of my mind this was going to wind up being something that I wanted to do full time. And when I compared what other markets were doing to what we were doing in our market, I realized I had so much to learn. And I think this is the problem with most DJs, is they're just ignorant. And not in a derogatory sense. They just have never been exposed to something that's classy. To something that makes a bride cry for a good reason. I've never seen it.
Bill Herman,
yeah.
At one point in your life, now you've been a DJ since you were 10 years old, you've been on mm-hmm. stage. Have you always just continually wanted to strive and to be better? Or was there a point in time that you ever thought that you knew it all, that you already had it?
Well, of course there were points in that. I mean, the constant improvement thing was pounded into my brain from the first time I stepped on stage by my first drama coach or acting teacher, who each time said, you know, if you're not on stage doing it, you're taking a class about it, and if you're not, then you might as well hang it up. And at certain points in your life and in your own development as a human being, you get to a point where you get enough people patting you on your back, you go, yeah, man, I mm-hmm. rock.
Yeah.
And there were more than a few points within that development where I did stop and say, well, I got it. I'm the man.
What
and
then changed it your was mind?
It was always a horrible show, a crying client.
Yeah.
Usually I was at a point where nothing could get past that wall of ego. And so it usually was something pretty big that made me go, holy crap, I suck.
And what are some of those external indicators? I mean, I've seen where DJs will, as a matter of fact, today at Disc Jockey America, the forums, I was reading a guy, he was very defensive about some very good and constructive criticism that he received from a client, actually a client's mother. And I read it like, oh my gosh, this is gold. She's telling him exactly what he needs to do to be better. And he was very defensive about it. How do you get past that when you have those external indicators saying that you suck?
Well, it's a choice. It's a choice like anything. And, I mean, it is there. And he's gonna have to either make a choice or he's going to have to be hit upside the head again. I mean, literally, you get hit upside the head enough times, you either quit because you're tired of getting hit upside the head or you start to listen. I mean...
Okay, Jim, you're laughing. Talk about that a little bit. Did you suck?
Oh, I sucked terribly. I suck today. for years, I didn't realize it because you DJ in a vacuum, because DJs are so secretive and competitive, and nobody wants to reveal their secrets, and nobody wants to share any information. And that's the sort of environment that I worked in for about 10 or 15 years, where you didn't talk to other DJs.
So that goes back to what you were saying earlier about working in a vacuum.
Yeah, and it's, I think, again, singular to the DJ business because everybody's so protective and so secretive. And so when you work in that kind of environment, you don't get any input, and so you don't know that you suck. But I made every mistake you can make, and a lot of them I made twice. I think the other important component of that is motivation. And a lot of DJs, you know, why do you do this? Why are you a DJ? That's a real key component to why you suck.
I think so, too.
Are you doing it for pocket money? Are you doing it for beer money? Are you doing it to meet girls? Are you doing it to drink? Are you doing it for free food?
Mm-hmm. We don't want to write this down.
are you taking notes?
Yeah, are you getting all this?
I really am.
Or are you doing this to make a difference on one of the most important day of people's lives?
And how does that affect your ability to charge a decent fee? If those motivations, which apply directly to how much, at what level you suck, how does that affect your ability to actually earn a living as a mobile DJ?
When your motivation changes, when you realize that it's not just another gig, that you're not just doing this for pocket change. When you decide, and I think there comes a point in every DJ's career where they either get out of the business or they, you know, they take a 180-degree turn and they realize, well, if I am going to make a go of this, then I need to change. And for me, It was one night about 1997 or 98, the first time we ever had access to the internet on our home computer, I discovered DJ boards, where DJs from around the world and around the country mm-hmm. talk to each other freely and shared information. And so I think the DJ industry really has taken a quantum leap forward with the use of that technology, where DJs aren't worried about competition and being secretive, because now they're talking with guys in other cities. And so they're not competing with them. And we all began to sort of share information. And that's when I realized how bad I sucked.
Excuse me. I just swallowed my tongue.
Ooh, Mark Farrell sucks too.
When we come back, how can you tell if you're a bottom feeder? And is there a difference between bottom feeders and if you suck? Or do you automatically suck if you're a bottom feeder? Or do you suck automatically as a bottom feeder? This is Knights of the Worth Table on DJA Radio.
Scratch this.
You're a very bad man.
DJA Radio.
Deep Probe with Bill Herman. Interviews, inspiration, and attitude. Download it Tuesdays on DJA Radio.
DJA Radio is on the air.
And that means cool prizes all the time.
This is your radio station, DJs.
And we know what you love.
It's the DJA Radio Secret Password Giveaway.
We have limited edition DJA Radio iPod Nanos.
And they belong to you.
Listen to every podcast every day for the secret password.
Once you hear it, put it in an email with your name, address, and phone number and send it to contest@djaradio.com.
We will draw a new winner every week.
Listen to DJA Radio and win the limited edition DJA Radio iPod Nano.
You think this is cool?
We're just getting started.
DJA Radio.
The talk
of the DJ world.
And the place to get some really cool free stuff.
DJA Radio, continuing our quest for the holy grail of DJ professionalism. This is Knights of the Worth Table. Hello, I'm Mark Farrell. I want to get the DJA Radio shows automatically downloaded to your computer, your iPod, or your MP3 player. All you got to do is subscribe to the DJA Radio RSS feed. That's at djaradio.com. For more info on how to do that, just go to the FAQs at djaradio.com. And get the explanation there. Now, Wednesday, a couple of days from today, is Peter Mary's show, The Wedge. He's going to help you drive a wedge. He's going to drive
Come
a wedge
on.
Between you and your competition. It's a good show. I like his show. It's all about wedding marketing. Download it this Wednesday on DJA Radio. And hey, if you want to continue the discussion with peers in the profession, yes, colleagues, go to our forums at discjockeyamerica.com and join in on the conversation. Okay, now we're talking about sucking and bottom feeders. They seem to go hand in hand. Are they the same thing? Are they exactly the same thing? Do you suck if you're a bottom feeder and vice versa?
For me, yeah, it's the same thing.
Jim?
I think it depends on your motivation. I think a bottom feeder is a desperate, slimy, unethical person who is wants to take from other people. Their purpose is to take all that they can get because they can never get enough, and they don't really care about their clients or their clients' events. What they care is keeping somebody else from getting it.
Okay, so do DJs who suck have those same attributes?
Some of them.
Ah. Why do we want to eat bottom feeders for lunch?
Because they're killing us.
Yeah, they really are.
They're ruining
it may be slow,
events.
but it's a slow death. You know, when I have to still explain to my father, you know, that I've got a good job.
Yeah, yeah.
And
good
he
point.
Still wants to say, hey, you know, keep that radio thing going because you got to have something to fall back on. You know.
Ah, that's so sad. Yeah. That is
you
sad.
Know, when a client says to me, "Oh, you're a DJ. Wow, what do you do for a living?"
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And that
all
is
right.
The perception of the industry, and there's a lot of people out there that believe that there is no horrible perception of our industry, but that's just not true.
So, okay, you just found out that you suck. What do you do, John?
I think number one is get involved. Hey, well, probably first thing, videotape one of your shows and watch it.
You know, I think it's ironic that the people listening to this podcast right now, chances are lower, much lower, that they're not a bottom feeder. Otherwise, they wouldn't even have bothered to download this.
You think so?
Because a bottom feeder doesn't know he sucks or doesn't care if he sucks. If he doesn't care or doesn't know, he's not going to seek out a show like this one.
Pass this MP3 on to somebody else. Change the file name to, like, Britney Spears. Put it on a share server. Hot new pop song.
So, okay, so you drop your videotape into the player and you watch yourself perform. You've discovered that you suck. You had some outside indicators. Somebody gave you a bad report or a bad review or worse. That'll be a topic for another program. But you're determined to get better. So if you're determined to get better, then in my opinion, that's you're not a bottom feeder. You're just a guy that sucks that wants to improve, like most of us were at one time. So you look at the videotape, and what are you looking for, Jim?
I think that that's a great way to at least get started to the inkling that you're not as good as you think you are. When you see yourself on videotape, you see all all your bumps and bruises and freckles and moles and everything shows. And I think that the next thing you can do is look for a mentor. And you either get involved on DiscJockeyAmerica.com, which is a fantastic site where people are happy to help and we're all on equal footing, or you find somebody in your market who maybe has more experience or is very successful and model yourself after them. You read books, you go to conventions, and you just begin to make that change from knowing it all to realizing that there's a whole lot you don't know.
Bill Herman, what have you done along those lines?
Well, like I said, it all goes back to that first acting coach who said to me, you're not on stage doing it. You should be out there taking a class. If I'm on stage doing it, it's because I've got a director watching. If I don't have a director watching, I go and find a director to watch. Like specifically disc jockeying, you don't necessarily have directors except for your audience and how they react to you.
It's true.
And if you can't self-critique, then you do what John says. You videotape that and give that to someone else. But give it to somebody who you trust, who you know is good, or somebody else knows is good. And if you don't know anybody, then go outside the industry. Stay within the entertainment industry and find someone else. Find someone who can give you good, strong critique. And then don't be afraid to do what it takes to change.
John, how does what Bill is saying apply to being a DJ, though? To be a mobile DJ, do you have to know how to sing and dance and act and all these things?
I think one of the big things is if you think the microphone is not an important part of your role as a DJ, that would be a pretty good indication that you suck at this.
Bill James, what is it? What recommendation would you give to a DJ who's serious about his profession, who looks at this as a profession, who wants to make a living as a mobile DJ and wants to be recognized as professional in the larger entertainment industry?
Well, follow the advice of Onassis, the great shipping tycoon. He said, spend all the money you can to get around people who are successful. In our industry, that's spend all the time and effort and money you can to get around people who are better than you are. You're not going to get better hanging around people that are worse than you are. You're just going to pick up their bad habits.
Are you going to get better arguing on a chat board?
No, no. You may pick up some bits. You may pick up some routines. And you may find the people on the boards that will share ideas with you or present ideas in a way that you understand them, which is really important.
That assumes that you're already at a level that you can implement, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It does.
So how do you get around people who are better than you, and then what? Osmosis?
Ask them questions. Talk to them. Write things down. Learn from them, because most of those people are also willing to show you how it's done.
Excellent. All right, that's going to do it for this week. Any last words, gentlemen? Bill?
It's all about being better at what you are going to be. And if you are not a mic guy and you're a turntablist, okay, but you can still be a better turntablist.
Good point. Jim?
Commit. Commit to being a full-time DJ.
Wow.
When you do that, everything changes.
That's a big one. Bill James.
Suck less. Suck less.
John Bruce.
I think my microphone's broken.
Tomorrow on DJA Radio, Deep Probe with Bill Herman. Bill's going to be interviewing. Who are you going to be interviewing tomorrow?
None of your business.
All righty. Wednesday, don't miss my show, The Worth Show, and, of course, The Wedge with Peter Mary. Next week on The Worth Table, the question of the week, should the DJ be a counselor to the client, to the bride and groom? Should the DJ be a counselor to the client? Call in and answer the question of the week, and if you're compelling, if you're interesting, if you're funny, if you're riveting, it'll be part of our Worth Table discussion next week. The question of the week is going to be posted every Monday at djaradio.com. And you can always discuss the question of the week at discjockeyamerica.com in the forum. If you have a show idea or you have a show that you'd like to submit, send your MP3 or email to mark@djaradio.com. If we use it, we just might send you some money. Thanks for downloading our podcast today. Visit us online, djaradio.com, for a complete show schedule and our DJA Space blogs. That's where all the podcast personalities communicate to you on their blog. I'm Mark Farrell. See you next time around The Worth Table.
Thank you for listening to DJA Radio. For comments, complaints, or questions, call us toll-free in the U.S. at 1-888-DJ-TALK-1. That's 1-888-358-2551. And leave your message. If we use it on our podcast, we'll send you a DJA Radio Bottom Feeders t-shirt. Check DJARadio.com daily for new downloads and updates. DJA Radio is the talk of the DJ world.